A scathing new UN report on Israeli attacks on Gaza hospitals.
The report graphically details the impact of Israel's attacks, from the destruction of buildings and facilities to the killings of patients, staff, and other civilians.
As a new year begins, will an elusive hostage release ceasefire deal come to pass?
The Israeli Prime Minister has absolutely refused to discuss any kind of deal with Gaza that includes either Hamas or the Palestinian Authority, which is the rival to Hamas, which is in charge of the West Bank.
Today is Tuesday, December 31st, and this is The Issue from VOA. Hi, everyone. I'm Lori London. Dozens of patients and the wounded have been evacuated for treatment outside the war-ravaged Gaza Strip, where the United Nations says Israel's attacks on and around hospitals have pushed healthcare to the brink of collapse.
If the relentless bombing and the dire humanitarian situation in Gaza were not enough, the one sanctuary where Palestinians should have felt safe, in fact, became a death trap.
UN High Commissioner for Human Rights Jeremy Lawrence, on a Rights Office report released Tuesday, which said Israeli attacks have devastated the Palestinian enclave's health system and raised serious concerns about Israel's compliance with international law.
Under certain circumstances, the deliberate destruction of healthcare facilities may amount to a form of collective punishment, which is also a war crime.
Israel has dismissed such allegations. We hear more now from AP correspondent Nayan Kim, who reports on the arrest of a Gazan hospital director after Israel's army reportedly raided the facility.
Israel's army detained the director of one of the last functioning hospitals in northern Gaza, as overnight strikes in the enclave killed at least 9 people, including children, according to Palestinian officials. Gaza's health ministry said Dr. Hussam Abu Safia was arrested at Kamal Adwan Hospital. It comes a day after Israeli troops stormed the building, forcing many staff and patients outside to strip in the cold weather, according to the ministry. Israel's army denied claims it entered the complex and said it was conducting operations against Hamas militants in the area. In a nearby hospital, friends and family gather by the bodies of their loved ones. At least 4 children and a woman were among those killed when a house was hit in the Maghazi area. Neighbors and emergency workers are continuing to look for more victims who could still be trapped under the rubble. As winter settles in Gaza, a new threat arrives. Thousands of displaced Palestinians now live along the coastline in makeshift tent camps on the beach. But the cold, wet weather and winter seas are battering their flimsy dwellings. Mohammed Al-Sous and his family of 7 have barely enough clothes to keep them warm. We're suffering at night. It's abnormally cold near the sea. And as you can see, our whole tent is torn. Al-Sous's children collect bottles to use to light fires in front of their tent. Most of their items were swept away by the sea. This week, temperatures dipped as low as 48 degrees Fahrenheit or 9 degrees Celsius in the territory, causing the deaths of several people, including 3 babies who froze to death inside their tents. Nearly all of Gaza's 2.3 million population is now displaced, according to the UN, and 9 in 10 of those are living in tents like Mohammed and his family. I'm Nayan Kim.
All of this and still, there are continued reports of ceasefire and hostage negotiations, which have yet to materialize. The war was triggered by a Hamas attack on southern Israel on October 7, 2023, in which 1,200 people were killed and 251 taken to Gaza as hostages, according to Israeli tallies. Israel's campaign against Hamas in Gaza has killed more than 45,500 Palestinians, according to Palestinian health officials. Joining us now for further insights into all of this and what is happening now is Linda Gradstein in Jerusalem. The UN, issued a pretty scathing report about attacks on hospitals in Gaza, now apparently the last working one in northern Gaza. What are you hearing, seeing, and what can you tell us about what you know on this?
Well, for the first time, the UN was allowed to visit Gaza, the hospitals, after quite a long time, despite many requests. And they said that the situation in Gaza overall is very difficult, and especially in northern Gaza, and that the last hospital has basically stopped functioning after Israel closed the Kamal Adwan Hospital and arrested the director and moved some of the patients to the Indonesian hospital. That hospital is also on the brink of collapse. It really is a very damning report. It says that Israel has carried out a series of 127 strikes on hospitals that have killed medical personnel, killed patients. Now, as far as I know, Israel has not reacted specifically to this report, but it has said in the past that Hamas has repeatedly used hospitals as command and control centers. It did seem to prove that many months ago with the Shifa Hospital, that Hamas, used that hospital and had a whole underground bunker system under that hospital. Israel says that it has told Palestinians to leave northern Gaza, that northern Gaza is a war zone and that it's dangerous for them to be there. Hamas says, has denied the fact that it uses hospitals. So it's a very difficult report. It also said that under certain circumstances, attacks on hospitals can be seen as war crimes.
What are you hearing about the director of the hospital? I understand he was with an organization called Med Global, and they're very concerned about the accusations.
Yes. So apparently it's the director of the Kamal Adwan Hospital. He was arrested. And as far as I know, he was taken to Shdeh Tayman. Shdeh Tayman is an Israeli army base in southern Israel where Palestinians suspected of affiliation with Hamas are held. And according to Israeli press reports, he was interrogated and humiliated. An Israeli Arab Knesset member, Ahmed Tibi, asked for permission to see him and was denied. And other than that, that's really all that I know.
You also just mentioned the conflict intensifying in northern Gaza and people being told to leave. Are there places for them to go?
There are several. There are two safe areas in central and southern Gaza. One is called the Muassi area, and Israel says that it set those up as safe areas. Something like 1.9 million Palestinians, which is like 90% of the total population, have moved to those areas. But those areas have also come under attack. Israel's been experiencing a wave of very bad winter weather, and that winter weather is the same in Gaza. And in the last few days, there have been reports that six babies have actually frozen to death, that the tents that people are in are not winterized, they're not meant for long-term stays, and that the situation in these areas is also growing incredibly and increasingly desperate, that people just, don't have the basic, means to live, and that these safe areas that, Israel has set up and that the United Nations has tried to help with, but that they're not sufficient for the winter and for the number of people who were there in terms of sanitation facilities and food and medical facilities.
So this war that was triggered by the Hamas attack on southern Israel on October 7th, 2023, now continuing, so many lives lost in Gaza and hostages still being held that were taken that day. What is the latest? We've been hearing a lot about talks for hostage release, and it keeps sounding promising, but we don't really know anything.
Well, a few weeks ago, there was actually hope that they were really on the verge of a deal, a two-stage deal, in which there would be a release of several dozen hostages who were still alive, humanitarian cases, women, older people, people who were sick, in exchange for like a 42-day ceasefire, and some Palestinian prisoners would be released. And then during that time, they would negotiate a more sort of permanent arrangement. And then at the last minute, and this has happened several times before, the talks broke down. Each side accused the other of imposing new conditions. Hamas has not yet released, as far as I know, a list of the remaining hostages who were alive. The number we're talking about is 96 out of a total of 250 who were kidnapped on October 7th, 2023. As you said, of those 96, at least 36 of them have been declared dead. The number is actually probably higher, but Hamas has refused to release a list of who is still alive. And I know some of the families personally whose children are being held captive. And the last, you know, almost 15 months has just been an incredible nightmare for them. And, you know, especially this kind of up and down where they think they're about to be released and then the whole thing falls through. Several of the hostages are young women who have apparently been raped and sexually assaulted. In fact, you know, we spoke a little bit ago about the UN report about the situation in Gaza. Israel is submitting to the UN this week a report about the treatment of the hostages and the horrible treatment that they were, you know, in terms of not getting food, not getting water, no sanitary conditions, and sexual violence against the hostages. And so, you know, Israel's a very small country. Everybody knows somebody who's a hostage. And so I think there's this sense that, you know, Israelis want the war to end at this point. They want a ceasefire with Gaza. But also what seems to be going on is that Hamas is actually recovering some of its strength in Gaza, that because there has been no diplomatic solution, no plan for who will govern Gaza after the end of the war, what's happening is that Gaza is now being run by gangs and also by Hamas. So the situation is very difficult. The army, in fact, senior military and intelligence officials have warned that if Israel doesn't move soon to end the war and to put some sort of more permanent governing solution in Gaza, that basically Israel will be back where it was before the war started, and any gains that were made against Hamas will be lost.
Do you see any sign of any sort of conclusion here?
No. I mean, you know, in some ways, you know, the rocket fire that Israelis were living with at the very beginning has almost completely stopped, although I was actually in a hotel last night in Herzliya, which is a bit north of Tel Aviv, and around midnight there was a missile alert that the Houthis from Yemen are continuing to shoot ballistic missiles at Israel, most of which are shot down before they reach Israel, but the shrapnel has fallen in various parts of Israel, and also people are sometimes injured running to their safe rooms or their bomb shelters. So of all of the seven fronts that Israel was fighting on, right now the most active one is Yemen. At the same time, the Israeli prime minister has absolutely refused to discuss any kind of deal with Gaza that includes either Hamas or the Palestinian Authority, which is the rival to Hamas, which is in charge of the West Bank. And so, you know, basically Israel has three options. It can try to cooperate with the Palestinian Authority and the international community to put something in place in Gaza. I can't even think about what kind of rehabilitation it's going to take. It's going to take decades to rebuild Gaza. Israel can take over Gaza, which is what some on the extreme right are advocating, in which Israel would be responsible for food distribution and would be responsible for running Gaza. There are some calls in Israel to annex northern Gaza to Israel and even to reestablish Jewish settlements in Gaza, which were dismantled when Israel pulled out of Gaza in 2005. Or it can kind of do nothing and hope that things get better. And that's what it seems to be doing. But things don't seem to be getting better in Gaza. They seem to be getting worse.
Linda Gradstein, coming to us from Jerusalem. We always appreciate your insights. Thank you so much.
Sure. Thank you, Lori.
And you've been listening to The Issue from The Voice of America. On behalf of Scott Walterman and all of us here at VOA, thank you so much for joining us. You can follow The Issue on X, Blue Sky, and Facebook at VOA The Issue. And for news 24/7, check out our website at voanews.com. In Washington, I'm Lori London. We'll talk to you soon.